If you're visiting with us this morning, I want to let you know that we are in a study or a series called I Will. And this morning, the subject matter is that of missions, that we would be a people who are intent on going for the Lord. In my life, I've been blessed to go with other brothers and sisters in Christ and travel to other places to be the hands and feet of Christ. And today I stand before you, not only as the pastor of this church, but as a believer in Jesus Christ who has been faithful to God's call upon my life to tell other people about Christ, not just from the pulpit. Because you see, before I was ever a preacher, I was a son of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And for you and I, the message of Christ is one that we are all called to share. And one of the things that I have realized is wherever I have gone as a disciple of Christ, two things I have seen to be evident. One is that the Lord has gone before me. And two, there has always been a need for the gospel. Wherever I have been, even in a community where you would think that the majority of the people might believe in Christ, there is always that one. There is always that group that does not know Christ. And therefore, we need to be a people, because we have been afforded to go. Go on mission for the name and with the message of Jesus Christ. Now there are some who might see the job of missions to be the responsibility of someone else, whether it be foreign missions or local missions. Tom Rainer writes that there are times where churches offer objections to going on mission wherever God is leading them. And that could be around the world, or it could be around the block. Some of the things that he says that people give reasons or excuses for is this: that is not my spiritual gift. Well, guess what? Telling about Jesus is not a spiritual gift. It's a mandate. It's a must in the life of all believers. And I think far too often there are churches that invite people to trust Christ, but they don't tell them what will be required of them. You see, it's not enough to follow Jesus. We have to go for Jesus. We have to let people know of God's love and the work that is done through Christ's life and resurrection. Now, some people might say that that's what we pay the pastor and the church staff to do. And to some degree, that is a responsibility that we have. But again, if we break it down to its bare bones, we are all, if we are followers of Christ, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And therefore, each of us is responsible to go. Each of us is responsible to tell. Jesus didn't say that responsibility will reside at the feet of the disciples as a responsibility of the apostles. No, it has trickled down throughout the ages, and it finds its place in the heart and the ministry and the mission of a local church. Some people say that they don't have time. I've figured this out in my life, that as busy as I get, I'm never too busy to be able to talk about Christ. Because at the end of the day, every breath I take and everything that I'm able to do is a blessing from God. And why not reflect on that and share with someone through missions on the great purpose of God in my life and the gratitude that I have because of Christ. Others might say, I don't want to impose my beliefs on others. And I think that's probably the answer that many of us would give today, because we want to be politically correct. We don't want to offend anyone. I'm not here to tell you that we need to go fight people because of our faith. What I'm telling you is you shouldn't be to the point that your faith takes a back seat to all the other things going on in your life. If you are in Christ, you have been called to go for Christ. And it's not a matter of imposing your belief on anyone else. It's just a matter of living your faith. And let God open doors. Let the Spirit stir as He is able to do. It's not us trying to convince everyone else what they must believe. At the end of the day, if my daughter comes to faith in Jesus Christ, I want it to be wholly and completely a work of God and not something that her daddy pushed down her throat and caused her to believe in for a short time in her life that she would just forget and move on from. What I want for my daughter to know is that there is a God in heaven. He is eternal. He is gracious. And He sent His one and only Son to die for her. And I believe that she is understanding that in her mind. But more than that, I want her to know it in her heart so that when she has the opportunity to tell someone about Jesus, she'll be on mission for Jesus and not just living with a belief in her mind without a feeling in her heart, something that she knows to be true. So may we not see it as our faith being an imposition in the lives of other people, but an opportunity to live Christ and to tell them, as God gives opportunity, about the wonderful gift of salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. And then you have that demographic of people who are introverts. Classic introverts, we would say, that they just have a hard time getting outside of their shell. One of my best and dearest friends in the world, he is a classical, clinical introvert, and he's a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you ask him why he's able to do what he does, it's not because he's just all jovial and he wants to tell everybody about everything. It's because the Lord has impressed upon his heart the need for other people to know about Christ. And he goes and he tells and he's on mission. But if you met him in a room of people like this, he would be the last person in the room that would just openly want to start a conversation about Mississippi State football or deer hunting or whatever your interest might be. He's going to be the guy that's going to stand in the back and he's just going to let everybody else carry on. But when he has an opportunity to be on mission for the Lord, he shines. And what he's realized in his life and what I've come to realize as well is it's not him. It's the Lord working through him to give him the strength and the courage and the boldness to do it. I've seen it in the life of my daughter. Now, my daughter, I think she would climb Mount Everest if you just gave her a little bit of rope and a pickaxe. But there are times where she's afraid to do something. And you know what I do? I encourage her. And then she thinks, well, I think I can do that. And then she moves on. And many of you parents in here, you maybe have seen that in your children where they were afraid to do something. But if you would just encourage them and model that before them, they would end up doing it and becoming very well at whatever it was that intention was. And I believe that's the power of the Holy Spirit in us when it comes to living Christ and telling others about Christ. The Holy Spirit of God stirs within us and He encourages us to be more than we thought we could and to do more than we ever could have imagined. For me, it's hard to fathom that I've traveled many places around the world, even where Christianity was not a favored religion. It was a crazy set of beliefs. But God would still allow me to have the opportunity to be able to tell somebody about Jesus and at times see God work in miraculous ways. Of all those things that we say, we give reasons for why we don't want to do missions. And I want you to know this, that missions in the United States is becoming a much more difficult practice. It's not like everybody feels they've got to be in the church house on Sunday. Not everybody feels that they have to be labeled as a Christian in their community. I've seen it in my lifetime, and many of you who are older than me, much older than me, you've really seen that shift. But that still does not mean that we just let things go the way that they go. We are called to stand faithful to God and His call upon our life to do missions. And that doesn't mean missions around the world. It oftentimes means missions just right around the block, just right around the corner. So may we be a people who are on mission rather than being a people of excuse. Instead of having a reason why missions is something that we are uncomfortable about, may we be bold to give response through faith, as Peter did in Acts chapter 4. Luke writes, Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 19, "But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide. For we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard.'" Peter and John could not keep quiet. Why? Because they were in the very presence of Christ. They saw Him do amazing things. They saw Him live a life that was perfect and without a fault. And in that, they could not keep quiet, even if it meant losing their life. If we are in Christ and we trust the Bible to be true, the witnesses of these two men should be enough for us to know that Christ and telling others about Him is worthy of our time and of our effort and our investment, even if it means that we place our lives in danger. And so what are some things that we as a local church can do when it comes to missions right where we are? Well, let me give you the first thing that we can always do, and I'm going to tell you, it's the first answer to any question when it comes to what we do as a church, and it's this, that we would pray. There are so many times that the church has grand ideas and it falls flat on its face, and the reason more often than not is because there has never been prayer given to the matter. Anything that you do, anything that we would venture for the Lord, we need to be praying God's will for that and praying that God would open opportunities for us. It's not just about going out and telling someone about Jesus. It's about praying for those opportunities to happen. Those who are indifferent, those who are antagonistic to the Word of God, if we will pray that God would open the door, we have a much better chance of things happening than rather us being a bull in a china shop and trying to tell people how they need to believe and what they need to believe. We're going to be a church on mission. We need to pray for opportunities. And then secondly, we need to invite people to church. We need to invite people to do life with us outside of the church. We need to look for ways to be connected to people. And when we invite people to be a part of what we're doing, let's just do life. Let's not, you know, if it's church, well, great, we've got Bible study in church. But if your intent is for somebody to come to know Christ, don't put on the Good Southern Baptist hat and just be all churchy around them. Be a person. Be an individual. Have a relationship. Be the kind of person that you are with your spouse or your siblings or your other friends. Just be who you are and don't be more or less. Because oftentimes when we try to make ourselves out to be some spiritual juggernaut and then the reality comes that we're just kind of limping through life like everyone else, then we come off as being fake. And so for us, as we meet with people, as we even gather for church, look, just be who you are. For me, I am who I am. And some of you, maybe a small group of you, are really going to love that. And then others are going to go, well, you know, that's just the preacher. Just move on. You know, he's just kind of, he's like all those preachers. They've just got, you know, there's that one screw that they didn't completely tighten up on assembly. And then there are some of you that just may not like anything that I do. And that's okay. At least to me. I'm going to get over it and I'm going to move on. But I'm not going to be someone that I'm not to any of you. And sometimes that means that I look very pretty. And sometimes it means that I look ugly. And you know what that means? I need grace. I need a friend. I need someone who loves me for me and not for who they think I am. And so we are people who invite others to do life, to do church. And we do it with genuineness and sincerity. But thirdly, we need to be intentional about our efforts. Now, some of you are not intentional in many things, but I'm going to tell you, when it comes to missions, you need to be intentional. Dawn and I, we have a dear couple friend, and they're in the ministry. He's a pastor of a church, and he just loves getting up on a whim and going somewhere. And there was a time where they went traveling, and the wife said, well, aren't you going to make reservations somewhere? No, baby, we'll find something when we get there. Well, it turned out when they kind of got to the point where they needed to find some place to stay, there wasn't room in the inn, as they say. And so they had to backtrack 100 miles just to find a place to stay. Now, let me just say to you that that night in that room between that husband and wife, that was not a kumbaya moment. There were some I told you so inferences going on. If we are going to be missional, let's be intentional. So oftentimes, we don't look for the low-hanging fruit, if you will, where we can see the seed of the gospel spread out and see God doing some incredible stuff. But whatever we do, and especially when it comes to missions, may we be intentional in our efforts. Fourthly, may we be prepared when the time comes. When I was in high school, in football, we had two, three quarterbacks. Well, one guy, he was just the superstar. And he wasn't going to come out for anything. Everybody knew that. But one Friday night, he ended up getting his bell rung. And the second string guy got in, and he was second string. And he ended up getting hurt. And that third string guy, He never thought in his wildest dreams he would ever quarterback on a Friday night. Guess what? He did. And you know what happened to him? He didn't know anything. Before it was all said and done, he was just trying to sandlot it out there with all the guys. And we had other guys that knew the plays and were trying to help him say, look, this is what you got to do. This is who gets the ball. This is where you turn. This is where you throw it. And it, needless to say, we lost the game. And it wasn't that we lost because we had the third string quarterback. We were probably good enough to win the game. The reason that we lost is because the quarterback, who's the leader, he wasn't prepared at all. I think that the defense knew our offense better than our own quarterback. And for us, do we know what we're doing? Do we know where we're going? Are we prepared when the time comes? Every morning, let me ask you, do you pray that the Lord would give you an opportunity to speak Christ into someone's life, to begin a relationship? Or do you just kind of like, well, you know, if it happens, it happens. Now, maybe I'm just a little OCD, and I just think that everything has to have its place. But I'm here to tell you, if you're not ready when it happens, it's much more difficult on you than if you were prepared, if you were ready when that moment comes. And so for us as a church, the things that we do, the things that we think are important, if we believe that missions is important to us, may we be ready and prepared when it happens. And by the way, missions is supposed to always be happening. So you know what that means? It means we need to always be ready for missions. Whether it's in this building, down the street, or around the world. We need to be ready and prepared when the time comes for us. I'd like to add that there are four things to be mindful of as a follower of Christ and as members of the local church when it comes to our faith and when it comes to our missions. And the first is this, that we would see the command. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, probably the greatest text when it comes to missions that the church knows. And what I want us to understand when we see the command is that we see it as being biblical. This is not some harebrained idea or concoction that's come from some left-wing who'd have thought it. This is exactly what Christ taught and what He left for the church. And He writes in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, "Then Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age.'" We need to see the command. This wasn't just for a group that had been selected by Christ on a particular afternoon. This is the command, the biblical command for the church of Jesus Christ. So may we see the command. Secondly, may we obey the call. And let me say this, the call that is given to us, it is a divine call from God through Christ. Paul writes to his son in the ministry, Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, "He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." When was the call laid on your life? Before time even began. You know, you talk about, well, you know, the call kind of came when Jesus came into my heart. No, the call came before we even knew what time was. Before humanity even existed. Why? Because that's the way God works. He's prepared. He's intentional. And when God called you to be His child through Jesus Christ, that call was a divine call. Not only one of salvation, but also one of service. And then thirdly, not only do we need to see the command and obey the call, we need to face the challenge. I'm not going to be the preacher that tells you if you come to Christ, everything is going to be okay for the rest of your days. That you're just going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise until the Lord calls you home or until Christ comes back. That's not the way the Bible teaches, and that is not the way the world operates. So we are to face the challenge, which at times those challenges are difficult. John chapter 15, verse 18, and then moving on to verse 24 and 25, we read these words of Christ. "If the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you." So what Jesus says is, there's a chance the world's going to hate you. But here's why. Because they already hate me. Already. It's not a, well, you know, they may hate me one day. No, they hated Christ. And because the world hated Christ, they will at some point come to hate us. And then in verse 24b and 25, "Now they have seen and hated both me and my Father, but this happened so that the statement written in their scriptures might be fulfilled. They hated me for no reason." Let me say this to you. The challenge will be difficult, but know this, it has no merit, no foundation. The reason that people hate us is not because of us. It's because of Christ. The hatred is directed towards the one who has divinely called us to be His disciple. There are going to be people around the world, and there are going to be people in this country, even in this community one day, that may not like you for any other reason than because you're a Christian and you live your faith. Are there a lot of things that you don't mind being disliked for because of what you believe? For you men who are married, is it okay with you if other guys don't like you because you love your wife? Wives, are there women that may not like you because you love your husband, that you guys would support your families? Jesus died for us so that we might be the bride of Christ. And if the world hates us because of that, they just need to hate us for it. Now, you notice what Jesus said. He doesn't say, you know, because they hate you, you need to be able to hate them. He doesn't give us that allowance. You know what our allowance is? That we love others. And sometimes we as Christians, boy, we do a messy job of loving people. We just, well, I'll love them if they love me. That's not, those aren't the rules. We are called to love others regardless of what happens. So face the challenge. Then fourthly, this, that we would rest in Christ. So oftentimes we put too much weight and burden on ourselves to see things done when it comes to our faith. But I want you to know, if we will rest in Christ, we will see that because of Christ, there is a possibility for us to live faithfully, to live missionally, to live in a way that honors Christ. Listen to what Matthew writes in chapter 19, verse 26, with Jesus here speaking. "But Jesus looked at them and He said, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" Well, I just don't do missions well because that's just something that I struggle with. Well, you may struggle with it, but I want you to know that it's not an impossibility. Jesus said all things are possible through God. Now look, that doesn't mean that you can do any and everything. And if somebody says, "Well, why'd you do that or how'd you do that?" Well, you know, God made it possible to do it. You know, if there was somebody here in the church and I just wanted to go off and haul off and sock you in the face, "Why'd you do that?" Well, you know, God said all things are possible. That's not the context. The context is this. What are the things that God in His Word has called us to do and we think, "I can't do that"? Why? Well, it's impossible. Hold on. Did you read where Jesus said, "With men, there are things that are impossible, but with God, there are things that are possible." And not only that, all things are possible. So may we be a people that don't shy away from missions, but rest in Christ because of the possibility of being able to do it. And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, "I'm able to do all things through Him who strengthens me." As followers of Christ through the mission of the local church, we are called to go, not only around the world, but simply just around the block, across the lawn, across the street. And we can know that Christ not only goes with us, but that He goes before us. And as we do go, may we not get so caught up in selling Jesus as some kind of commodity or product, but may we just go simply to do this, to share Jesus, to tell someone about another person that we have a relationship with. When I have somebody that I know and I like being around, I don't try to sell them to someone else. I just kind of tell them about them and then allow that relationship to happen organically. It's not me that tries to sell Jesus to you. I just need to share Him. And then God will start working in that. It's not my business to be making matches between people. God calls people and He does so sovereignly. Let Him work. And the way that we share with others the love of God and the work of Christ is this: the gospel, the good news of Jesus. being able to tell people about what God has done through your life because of Jesus. And God uses this gospel as His sovereign right and act to intervene in the lives of others. And as the old saying goes, God is in the business of saving. I get what that says, but God is not in a business of saving. It's not a work. It is not something that God's trying to make profit off of. Because you see, the truth of the matter is that God saving people and connecting with them, that they would be His children, that's the very heart and resolve of God. How many of us in here have or had jobs, but that didn't define who we were? You know, if you sell apples on the corner, does that mean that that's what your life looks like all the time? No. Now, there are other things that you enjoy to do and other things that you're involved in, invested in. But when it comes to God, God is not just in the business. That's what He does 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, to see people come to Him. But Lord, don't come to Him on a Saturday because, you know, God's taking off work and God's got other things that He's more involved and invested in. When we talk about God, His heart is to see people come to know Him. His resolve is that nothing would stop Him in calling you and validating you as His child. And God saves whoever, wherever, regardless of whatever you've done. Ever thought about that? And He does it for our eternal good and greater for His eternal glory. Jesus Himself speaks strongly to this relationship to salvation. And we read in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Therefore, everyone who will acknowledge Me before men, I will also acknowledge him before My Father in heaven. But whoever denies Me before men, I will also deny him before My Father. Has God ever given you that opportunity on a silver platter just to be able to have that relationship and tell someone about Christ? And you said, oh, thanks, Lord, but I'm going to order from another menu today. I appreciate that, Lord, but I'm not really hungry for that kind of stuff today. For those who are not willing to tell others about what God has done for them in Christ, to make Christ the subject, source, and strength of their life, Christ will not speak on our behalf either. If we have made that confession of faith in Christ Jesus once in our life, may we not move from that. May we be faithful to it every day to make that confession, to make that statement of our faith and belief in Jesus Christ when God gives us opportunity, wherever that might be. It might be at the gas pump. It might be at the local restaurant. It might be at the hospital. It might be here at the church. It might be with your next door neighbor. It might be anywhere under any given circumstance. But may we not shy away from looking for the opportunities and being intentional about telling those about Christ. May we not only proclaim Christ in our hearts, but show it to be true as we proclaim Him through our lips and with our lives. And this morning we sang a hymn written by William J. Reynolds. We show the love of God each day we live. Reveal Christ's presence in our lives and how the Holy Spirit guides us day by day. For God so loved the world, His only Son He gave. So share His love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share His love by sharing of your faith. And show the world that Jesus Christ is real to you every moment of every day. May we glory in God. And may we go for the sake of that glory with the message of His Son, Jesus Christ. May we be a church that says, I will, we will go.